Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Barca for All podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Kelsey, if you forgot somehow. I'm going to be joined today by Rajesh and by Borja. Rivka cannot be here today, as we'll probably be pretty consistent throughout the next many podcast recordings, which Rivka talked about a couple episodes ago. But you two, how are you doing? How have you been? How's life been going?
Buona tarda, I have to say, in celebration for Ona's signing for Barcelona. So I'm extremely happy since last Monday.
And I'm very happy because like June has been the best month for me, both personally and with Barca.
June has been a very good Barca month, and I'm glad to hear that you guys are both doing well. As Borja talked about for a sentence or two, we are going to talk today for a little bit about the now official, after, oh my god, like 3 years of waiting, the Ona Batllé signing. And we're also going to be spending the bulk of the episode on player rankings, which should be interesting based on our conversation before recording this podcast. So Ona signed 6 days ago today on Monday, June the 19th, Monday, June the 19th. And she signed a contract with us until 2026. So 3 year contract. I can speak for Rajesh and myself here. We had been following her ever since her days with Levante. We were right there for the whole compensation list controversy of 2020 and her sort of shock transfer to Manchester United, and then the whole process of waiting for her to come back and United activating their additional year on her contract and things like that. So it's obviously very nice to have her back. She's arguably one of, if not the best young right back in the world. What are your guys' thoughts on this transfer after many years of waiting?
The unofficial loan ended, I would say that. And yeah, we have got a gem of a player in Ona Batllé.
It really does feel like she was out on loan, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm extremely happy, not just because like we have been begging for a right back for years, and now we got it, and hopefully it will last at least 10 years. But I'm extremely happy because it adds like different things that we didn't have till the moment, because in the end, Lucy Bronze was kind of a similar player to Torrejón, like being this kind of third center back kind of role for a right back. And Ona is kind of actually it's like very different. It's a fullback that will push higher, and I think she will add a lot of value, especially to partnering with Aitana and Caro. And I think that right wing that would be much better next season. And I think the individual performance of each player will get better just because of Ona's presence. I just feel like it was finally, it seems like after so many years, because in the end, like, Barcelona has been following her for a lot of time to see her coming back. Finally, the economical and the contract situations like kind of had this coincidence that could finally be matched from Barcelona perspective, and it could be done. So yeah. And the fact that she's not going to any other team, because if she went, for instance, to Chelsea or I don't know, or Arsenal, we would miss the chance of signing Ona for at least 2 or 3 years. So it was the right timing. And yeah, fortunately, it is so that Ona is a cooler once again.
So, Borja, if I remember correctly, you wrote like a thing last year about how Ona could fit into Barcelona had she resigned, right? Or like if she did resign.
Yeah.
What do you think her biggest strength will be you know, starting and playing for this Barcelona team? Like, what do you think is the biggest thing that she's going to be able to add?
Besides what I mentioned about being a different kind of right back, I think there is, I mean, we have seen quite a lot of times when the right wing was not as successful at creating danger, when, for instance, Caro was absent due to injury or so, or even when Caro was playing, just because Lucy Bronze or Torrejón, when they push up, they didn't have that much ability to get on take-ons and be successful, for instance, dribbling players. And Ona is that kind of fullback. Yeah, she can go higher and up of the wing, and she can repeat that many times. But just the fact that she's a great dribbler and carrying the ball, she's great as well. Like, I think it's probably what Manchester United fans will highlight the most. But I think also, like, she's very productive when she gets on the last third. Her crosses are pretty good. And actually, she has the ability to make the right choices and finding the best player getting into the box. And I think it will help a lot to Barcelona to be more productive in the box. That is something that we probably would be missing, because in the end, Torrejón and Pronos, I don't think they have that kind of ability. So yeah, I think it would be the I mean, offensively is probably her biggest attributes, and defensively probably she will struggle a bit defending the box, but overall I think she will at least be as secure as Torrejón and Lucy. I think she has that speed to correct many defensive situations, and in situations 1v1, she's better than even Lucy or Torrejón. So I think that overall we get a proper upgrade, I would say. And actually, she can play on the left. Like, she has played as a left back for Manchester United, and she used to play as a left back in Barça B. So
did she play? She also played as a left back in Levante briefly.
Yeah, probably. I didn't watch Levante by that time that much. Actually, with Spain, I think she's played as a left back. So
she has. I remember that.
You gain different options with her on the team. And I think also that whenever Caro gets injured, I think she will be probably in front of Ana María Chernogorci to play as a winger. And I just want to explain it very briefly, because I think that she has this kind of dribbling and the ability to be successful in 1v1s that Ana Mari doesn't have. I think Ana Mari is more like a striker playing on the wing, and she doesn't have that kind of ability. She is more comfortable getting into the box and creating shots from that. But I think Ona is more look like Caro playing as a winger. But I guess we will see.
All right. Lovely. I think that's all I have to say about Ona signing. And before we get into the player ranking segment, I do want to just list off a bunch of like youth team and B team players that we re-signed to the B team, hopefully with the eventual expectation that they might continue to the senior team. Those players are Lion Martret, Ona Baradad, Julia Bartel, Ari Arias, Mary Munoz. Now there's some other kids that I've never heard of before. Berta Dotra, whatever. Aicha Camara, and a bunch of other kids. Emma Galvez, Maria Llorera Borja, is that right? Llorera.
Yeah.
Nuria Pon, and oh, I love her, Raquel Capdevila. So they all resigned. And I think that's pretty much it. So, yeah, with that all being said, I mean, do you guys have any really deep thoughts or any thoughts whatsoever on any of these players? I mean, Adios, I'm personally really excited for re-signing. I think she could be something special. But otherwise, I don't really have anything deep.
Did you expect Arias to renew? Like, I mean, Barcelona was champion of second division and she was the main scorer, the Pichichi. Do you think that she was going to stay at Barça B or they was going to be alone or something? Wasn't you surprised about that?
I was. I mean, mainly because... I think because she comes from Madrid. And usually when players come from Madrid and they go to Barça, they don't leave or they don't come to the club having some sort of, like, loyalty or whatever. Like, I would get why a player like her would see Barça B as a stepping stone to something like a bigger Liga FA club, but I mean, I'm happy that she did because that probably signals to the fans or to whoever that the club potentially could see her being a future player for the senior team, which I'm excited for personally. But I don't know. I don't really think that I expected her to renew with the B team. I feel like when players do that, when they win a below or like a lower division league as a top scorer, sometimes it really gets in their head and they want like that big move now. So I wouldn't have been surprised if Adios was one of those people who like wanted that big move. But she's staying with the B team, so I welcome that. I think that's great.
Yeah, I agree with everything you say. Just as a teaser, we are planning to make a podcast on Barça B, so we'll probably develop more in the future about this topic because, we have been linked to Fenger, which is an Uruguay striker, and I would say that Celia Segura would be promoted to Barça B next year, and that would be a lot of strikers. But we'll discuss about it in the future. But I think that's interesting a lot about the Barça B management because apparently with what Markel, Zubizarreta, or even Xavier Budol has said recently, that like they are giving Barça B a lot of importance, and I think these moves, that will be important.
I would like to see a lot more B-team players being implemented into the senior team, but like I know it's obviously not that easy. You know, there's only so much space that you can give to people. You know, players need to get injured in order for there to be space in the call-up list, whatever. But I like this whole string, because this just happened in the past like 2 or 3 days, this whole string of renewals, I think that's a great sign. Because these are like really highly talented players. Like, Ona Barredat, of course she has she's still recovering from an ACL injury, but she's just very talented. Ona Barredat, Julia Bartel, Lai Martret, you know, all these people. But I think that's enough for the signings, the B-team stuff. Now we're going to get into the rankings. So we compiled this list of rankings based on, I think, how many appearances that each player made for the senior team. I think the cutoff was 10. But of course, the list is going to be based on up to our own discretion. So we're not including Bruna because she didn't make that many appearances or have that many minutes after returning from her ACL injury. We are including like Jana because she had a lot more appearances than Bruna did, things like that. And we aren't including people like Gemma Font, you know, because she just didn't really have enough appearances. And we will be going in order of position. So first we'll talk about the forwards, then we'll talk about the midfielders, then defenders, and then goalkeepers. Also, we're not ranking Alexia because she made like 4 appearances this season, so that's not happening. But our rating system will be on a scale from 0 to 10, 0 being the worst, 10 being the best, and 5 being average. So not like any 6 or 7 scores for an average season. 5 is the average. Anything below 5 is below average, and anything above 5 is above average. I'm probably going to allocate maybe like 2 minutes for each player. So as much as we want to get into the discourse, we don't got that much time. So I guess we'll just start off with the first one on our list, which is Vicky Lopez. I would say like a 7 or an 8 just because she is so young and it has been just her first season. And she has done so much and made such an impact against huge teams. And not just that, but she's also proven to the fans that she can be a very valuable asset at such a young age. Like, my criteria for her is pretty much based on her age because she's so young and she fits into the team so flawlessly. But that's my thoughts.
Yeah, I agree. My would probably be a 9. When she was signed, I didn't expect that she would play that much minutes and in such a big level. For sure. First game, for instance, was actually she played the first game of the season against Granadilla, and she did reasonably okay. But since then, she's been improved a lot when she's played for the first team. And when she was signed, I couldn't expect having a bigger importance or doing it better. So I just have little thing. I don't have much to against her season. So I think a solid 9 would be for her.
And I would give her an 8 rating, and her adaptation to the first team has been very good. And I agree with whatever Boha has said. And she has been an important player when we missed a couple of important midfielders at the start of the season, and she proved that she is capable of holding this midfield for years to come. So yeah. I would give her an 8 rating.
All right, that's pretty solid 8/9 across the board. Next player. Oshuala. I'm going to be more liberal on this one. I'm going to give Oshuala an 8. I was debating between a 7 and an 8, but I think my reasoning for giving her the higher score as opposed to the lower score comparatively, obviously, is she dealt with injuries a lot again this season. She had a lot of problems getting consistency, but she still somehow managed to be... I think she finished as our top scorer in the league, even though she played a significantly less amount of minutes compared to, like, Alba Redondo and Kunda Nanji and all those players. So based on that, and based on her performance in big games, I would say that an 8 is a fair score for her.
I think this is the part where we start to disagree. More of that soon.
It only took 30 seconds.
No, but I would give her, a 6. Probably a 6.5. I mean, she has had these kind of good matches, and she's been like with a lot of ups and downs. But in the end, for me, it's like she has not improved her version from last year's. Like, she still has these kind of deficits, like in aerial duels.
I agree with that.
On the ball sometimes, and that and it doesn't help Barcelona to, for instance, against deep blocks because of her. So I just feel like she adds a lot of value to Barcelona with her runs of the ball and helps a lot to get a lot of chances, but in the end, in the big game, she has not played and she has not offered a lot. So I don't feel she deserves more, although I like her and I think we all like her in this podcast, but yeah.
Yeah, like everyone knows, I'm a big fan of Oshuala, but I'm going to give a 5.5 rating.
Ooh.
It's kind of...
Hard teacher.
She hasn't started any big games, and even in those games where she has started.
Maybe,
I don't think
I may be remembering the big game, the big games incorrectly. That's my bad.
Yeah, there wasn't any lot of help, I would say. Like whenever we needed something to happen and you need your like striker to score those goals, and I felt like she was absent in these games. And like injuries are part of the game, but like it's her fifth year at Barca, and to miss another Champions League final, I would say like that's unfortunate. So yeah, I would give her 5.5.
Okay. I'm listening to you guys. I'm gonna bring mine down to a 7, because it makes sense. 7, 6.5, and 5.5. Okay, that's pretty varying in responses. Like say average 6 maybe. Okay, interesting. Next one, Jace. In my heart and in my soul, a 10 out of 10, always. In my brain, this is difficult because we're comparing her to, well, honestly, we're all making up our own criteria for this. Comparing her to how she was at Madrid CFF, she is below average. Comparing her to how she fits into Barcelona, I would say she is slightly above average. I would give her a 7? Maybe a 6.5. I would give her a 6.5 for the season. 7 if we take into account the fact that her entire season was derailed by knocking us out of the Copa de la Reina. I think that really affected her and threw her off her game completely. And I do feel bad about that. But just purely based on a player perspective, how she performed. Oh God, I still want to do 7 because she was really valuable for us in big games in a way other than scoring. I mean, we wouldn't have won the Champions League final had she not come on and been an integral part of the build-up to our third goal. And there have been like multiple times throughout the season where she has played a role in those big goals and those big games. Now I'm like kind of talking myself into a 7.5. I'm going to stick with a 7 and maybe change my answer later after I hear your guys' thoughts.
Nah, that's okay. Don't change. Don't hear the haters. I would give her like, actually, I pretty much agree with you, Mark. I would give her actually a bit below 6.5. I think it's an interesting case of Gaze because for me, until Christmas, it was 8 out of 10. She seemed like she adapted pretty well to Barcelona. She started to be more comfortable on the ball. But since the episode of Copa de la Reina, the trend changed and she was like stagnated within Barça adaptation. And her last part of the season, besides her games and her contributions against Chelsea, Roma, and in the final, I think just I missed something of Keisa at the end of the season. And if she have kept the same trend as in the start of the season, that would be an 8 out of 10. But I think I have to take the grade somehow down. Hopefully next season, being more confident, her adaptation to Barcelona would be better and offer some things that still miss as a striker. But yeah, 6.5 I think is fair.
So for Gaze, I'm going to go with 7. And yeah, like her adaptation hasn't been, like, I wouldn't say that it has been great, but I kind of feel like she has played in 3 different positions during the part of the season, and she has been like mentally down since the Copa de la Reina episode, and I don't know, like she hasn't been influential in a lot of ways, but during the early part of the season, she has been a key player for us in getting the, finishing the group stages atop us and winning us the I mean, like Supercopa. So I wouldn't say it's a like an average season, but I would rate it better than like 6. So I am going with 7.
Okay, I have to say that Reyes and Kelsey convinced me. I will give her a 7. I didn't
Thank
quite
you.
Remember that good the Supercopa. I think she was very good against Real Madrid and Real Sociedad. So yeah, I think a 7 would be more fair.
Wolfsburg, them too.
Yeah. I mentioned about the Chelsea as well.
JC gets a 7. Yay. Okay, next one, Salma. I personally would give Selma a 7.5 or an 8. My expectations for her, I don't want to say they were low, because they weren't, but they were like average expectations, because she was young, she was coming in from Villarreal, you know, she never played football on this big of a level. And then she's starting huge Champions League games. She's putting in performances. You know, not all of her performances were like excellent and amazing, but she was really, really quality when it counted. Like, I remember her goal against Roma when we were not playing too hot. That was essential. Like, there were a couple of different moments throughout our season where she had moments like that where, you know, she could change the game. She could just come up out of nowhere and score a goal and completely change the trajectory of a match, things like that. And overall, I think she's been an incredible, like, second choice addition after Rolfa on the left wing. So 7.5 would be mine for her.
I will be more giving, and I think for me it's an 8. I think we don't kind of remember that she's still she's 19 now, but she's so young. And what you mentioned about coming from
atletism,
I did forget
that she was that young. I did.
Yeah, so reasonable in the end, because she seems more mature. But in the end, it's true that we miss probably something when she plays as a left winger, and she still hasn't adapted perfectly well to Barcelona, and she still has to learn a lot of automatism and so on and blah blah blah. But in the end, she offers a lot, even when she's not having a good match, just because of her conditions. She's been also very helpful in some games with the goal and with her ball off the ball movement. So for being her first season as a full-time professional footballer, I just think an 8 is more than reasonable, and I think this very deserving. And actually, it's just what we can expect from her in the future. But yeah, I think an 8 is fair.
I agree with Borja on this. Statistically speaking, 50 plus goal contribution in her first professional season. I think that those are good numbers, or I would say that those are great numbers. So yeah, I would give 8, and I agree with Borja, Salma.
All right, I've been convinced. I'm going to change my answer to an 8 as well. Okay, next one, Kato. Callum Graham-Hansen.
10 out of 10. Next 10 of 10. Next player.
Yep.
We are
10 next player.
We genuinely, yeah. I 10 out of 10. Injured for a good amount of the season, but that doesn't matter. Came back and basically carried us to our third or our second Champions League title. I'm getting ahead of myself. Not even a question. 10 out of 10. Rolfa. 9. 9.5. Not a perfect 10. She wasn't flawless the entire season, but I mean, when it really, really counted, I think she was just incredible. I would say she had her best out of her two seasons in Blaugrana. Rolfa, yeah, that's an easy 9.5. Not a perfect 10, though. Not a perfect 10.
I have to say, Kelsey, that I was joking when I said about the 10 out of 10 to Lucano.
Are you serious?
But yeah, I mean, like...
How much were you joking?
No, 9. Or 9.5. I mean, like, she's improved a lot with her left foot, and she has provided a lot.
Okay.
But probably there is a thing that when she came back from the injury, she was not still 100%. And it's hard to judge. So probably a 10 out of 10 would be also, like, very fair. But yeah, I just wanted to mention that I was mostly joking and I would give her like 9, 9.5. But anyway, coming back to Frida.
I wasn't joking, audience.
Then you are a truly fan of Caro. I'm just a fraud.
Your Twitter username is Ankara Hansen.
Ah, my bad. But anyway, coming back to Rolfo, I think a 9.5 is very deserving. Even it's very hard to give a player a 10 because what's next then? Because it's like reaching the ceiling. But
not for me.
Absolutely. But it's like, what can you expect more from Rolfo playing as a left back? I mean, I think that she offers a lot to the team. And yeah, I mean, like, what else can you ask to Frida? Maybe in some situation being a better defender. But in the end, it's only her second year as a fullback. And considering that Barcelona is not a team that defends that much time, probably will take some extra time to adjust some stuff, like when she is, how she's orientated in some situations. But yeah, offensively is what we can see, all of us. She provides a lot. So yeah, a 9.5, and how she's been a lot of, I mean, I can't remember the penalty against Real Madrid 1-0 at the Johan Cruyff. She's been also clutch at some times, like even the final. So yeah, absolutely. 9.5 for me.
I'm not going to the technical part like Boga or Chelsea. I'm going to just give the 10 just for scoring that winning goal against Wolfsburg.
Fair enough. I'll take that. All right. Next one. Mariona. I don't have any like really strong thoughts on this one. I would say like maybe a 7. Maybe. I mean, she was above average, but and there were points where she was phenomenal and she was a really quality player and scored important goals, but there were also points where she was pretty bad. Like, her final performance, it was not very good at all. So, there's a lot of give and take, and I'm just going to go in the middle. 7.
Mine would be an 8. I think she still had this kind of season where she struggles with injuries and denying her some continuity that I think that damages her game when she comes back. Because in contrast to Pina, I think Mariona depends a lot more on her physicality, for instance, to protect the ball, etc. I think against Chelsea she made a great, great, great game. Probably in the final, she still had some mistouches, mistouches and so on. But yeah, overall, I think she had a consistent season. For me, it's an A. Yeah.
I'm going to go with 7.5 for Mariona. Like, apart from a couple of games, I don't think she had a lot of bad games. She has been consistent throughout the season. When we exclude those games where she was injured and she came back from the injury. So, yeah, like, she has been an important and key player for us in the second part of the season. If we want to be more specific. So, yeah, I would go with 7.5 for Mariona.
I apologize for the noise. Some guy is mowing his lawn outside, so if you can hear that, it's my bad. Okay, next one. Claudia. I would give Claudia an 8.5 to a 9. I think it kind of sucks that she was injured for, like, the later parts of the season because, you know, the thoughts about her season don't exactly come up really fresh in the brain. But I think she really stepped up in the absence of Alexia when she played. Like, there was a noticeable difference in how many goals we scored and how effective our forwards were when she played versus when she didn't play. I think she really came into her own this season, and even despite the fact that she wasn't really featured that much in the later half, she really took us through the first half and, like, I would say half, like, the second half of the season, and she was a really essential part of what made us click for so long. So, for her, what did I say? 8 or 9? I would say 8.5 to 9 for Claudia.
For me, it's an 8.5. She has continued with her version of last part of the last season. I think she helped a lot to not miss that much Alexia, kind of providing this kind of last pass and playing inside as well as the goal games. For instance, in the Supercopa against Real Madrid was excellent. Even in Liga F against Real Madrid as well. And he has interpreted very well these two positions, playing as a false winger and as a interior, as a midfielder. She's still super young and she still has that progression, but I think that Pina has established herself as one of the best players in the Liga F. And yeah, it would be nice to have seen what she could do if she was not injured in this last part of the season and help the team. But I think overall, I don't remember a game where she played bad. So yeah, for me, it's an 8.5.
I don't either. That
she still has some room for improvement, but yeah.
I too agree with both of your ratings. I would go with 8.5 for Claudia Pina. And like statistically, she had 20+ goal contributions. And I think she has improved a lot in like distributing the ball in the final third, which wasn't the case, it wasn't the case in the last season. And if I have to pick a moment of the season for Claudia Pina, I would think about the goal against Bayern Munich in the group stage at Camp Nou. Yeah.
All right. The next one's the next one. Ingrid Engen. I'm gonna say what I want to say, and I'm not gonna elaborate on it. 6. 5.5 maybe. Borja, go.
Wow. I'm sorry. I have nothing against Engen. I don't either,
but I'm not here for the whole, you know, she's getting better. I don't care. I really don't.
Yeah, but I'm gonna fail her. You're not. For me it's a 4 or 4.5.
Ooh, I thought you were defending her. Oh wow.
No, I'm sorry. Like
I thought you were able to say 3.
No, but
God,
do you want to elaborate, Kelsey?
Because if I'm thinking of an average player, I can't think of a better example than Ingrid Engen.
Oh God! In my view, Jen is
going to clip that, and I'm going to get doxxed.
Yeah, we're going to get canceled by Engen fans, so that would be bad.
Yeah, but there's no better way to say it. I think that's what. Yeah,
For me, it's like, yeah, we have seen some matches where she has shown some improvement on the ball, but it's way off what should be enough for Barcelona.
There's not enough improvement.
Yeah, absolutely. And I get that she's a different profile as a pivot that we saw against Bayern Munich in the second half, that she helped the team because that kind of team demanded more physicality and more prevent Bayern Munich from transitioning. That's okay. And we have seen also her game against Atletico Madrid as a center back was pretty good, and probably is something we see this season, her playing as a center back. But playing as a pivot for Barcelona, I think she still has so many things to improve, and I don't think that she would deserve a sufficient, even a 5 out of 10. I have nothing against Ingrid, for sure. I mean, like, I actually like her as a person, but yeah, I think it would be unfair for the rest of the players to give her something more.
I kind of agree with this because I don't think she has identified her role in the team. It's been 2 years, and I don't know whether the coaching staff are able to identify her role in the team, or she isn't adaptable to that position they're looking for. So, I would agree with Borja on this. I would go with 4 for Engen, because even if we are going to miss Engen on those games, we are not going to like change the pattern of our play, or like it's kind of, she's kind of more like a squad player than being an important one.
Right.
So yeah, I would agree with that.
And it, with Engen, before we move on, it's one thing for someone to like not fit exactly into the Barcelona system, which a lot of players don't, but you can be a player that doesn't directly fit into the system and still be successful. I mean, because the person that she replaced was, she's kind of the Voldemort of women's football right now, but Keira Hamraoui. I mean, Keira Hamraoui, she was never a very Barcelona-suited player, but she would still show up in big games and, like, put in the shifts of her life when it really mattered. And I just don't. Engen just doesn't do that. And I don't think she ever really has for Barcelona. So that's,
like maybe,
that's my
maybe,
thought process.
Maybe it comes with experience.
Yeah, yeah, maybe it does. Because I don't really know what her role was when she was at Wolfsburg, but it probably wasn't, you know, the exact type of role of maybe what Keira had when she was here, for example. But when I think about Engen, that's kind of what I'm comparing her to. You know, someone who may not be suited exactly, but can still show up outside of their usual responsibilities. So that's my thoughts. Next one. Aitana. Aitana, good morning. I'm going to say 8. I'm not going to say 9. I'm not going to say 10. I'm going to say 8. I think she was very good for us in most games where it mattered. But throughout the season, she was definitely not at her best. There obviously was a lot of pressure on her after Alexia's ACL injury that she sort of had to carry the midfield and she had to overtake Alexia's role. And I really feel like based on her performances, based on her reactions to certain things, that kind of got into her head throughout a lot of the season. And it resulted in a lot of, like, average-ish performances. Which all of this kind of seems really sacrilegious to say after she's, you know, been being hyped for the past couple of months as, like, the number one Ballon d'Or candidate. But I don't fully agree with that labeling. Sorry to be controversial. If I'm comparing this season of hers to her other seasons, for maybe the past 3 seasons, this is maybe like out of 2021, 2022, and 2023, I would say this is her third best season out of those three seasons. She's just been overshadowed by Alexia, so people haven't really seen her that much. That's my thoughts.
I kind of disagree with Kelsey here. I think it would be for me like 9.5 maybe. Yeah. The thing is, I kind of agree with some stuff you said. And actually, there is so much that I didn't like from Aitana because she was very drawn to the ball, not being positionally discipline, and that was what the game asked from her. But I think overall, her season is pretty good. Not just because of her numbers and how she has improved in front of the goal and her impact in terms of goals and assists, especially in Champions League, which is probably the most important. But I don't think, even in the rest of aspects or phases of the game, I don't see much how Aitana can improve, and actually I don't think how any other player would have improved. So I think overall it's like very hard not to give her like a, yeah, I mean, like for me it's like, well, I just don't know how much can I ask from Aitana. Actually, even on the pitch, I think she has been kind of a leader. Also, she's not wearing the captain armband. So yeah, for me it's, yeah, 9.5.
Yeah, I would agree with her on this, and I'm going to like throw stones at Kelsey for saying that Aitana deserves an 8 rating because she has been more prolific.
I'm very sorry, everyone.
And she has improved with shooting from her, I think, left leg. She has scored equal number of goals from both the legs. And yeah, like every player, they can't be perfect in every game. Maybe she had like 3 or 4 bad games, but she has been carrying the team when needed and when we were playing average. I think like it was during the month of August. No, not August. It was actually like during the early part of the season when Barcelona weren't playing like they used to do, and like there were injuries, and she returned from the injury, and yeah, she made her presence felt in the team, and it was noticeable that the team improved when she was in the 11s. So yeah, like I do disagree with Kelsey's rating on this, and I would rate her a 9.5, and I think she deserves a Ballon d'Or shot.
I may change my rating. I guess it's because I've probably just been so spoiled by her in the past two seasons. Because I would say like her past two seasons have been like 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10 seasons. And she has evolved in her game in some ways this season, but I feel like compared to how she's performed in the bigger games has been sort of just like the tiniest bit of a downgrade. So I guess that's where my comparison comes from. But if she was any other player, she would easily be a 9 or a 10. My standards are just set perhaps unreasonably high. Next one, Kira. I don't have an opinion on this. And I don't really want to have an opinion on this. Because I don't want people to get mad at me. So let's just... I'm not going to say anything, actually. Borja, go.
We are here for free speech. There is freedom of speech here on this podcast. Anyway, if you don't feel comfortable saying that, it's okay. I mean, like, I can go.
I want you to go first. I want to see
you. Okay. For me, it's 7. Maybe, yeah, I think a 7. For me, her last part of the zone has been absolutely great. That would be, for me, like, I don't know, 8.5 out of 10. I really like Walls, her profile as a player, and so on. But what for me takes the mark a bit lower is her adaptation has been not slower by the time where you expected probably Keira to peak. I mean, like from January, she's been quite good, but her first games were very, very, very timid from her. I mean, like. You just saw Keira being afraid of doing some passes and some easy passes, actually. I can remember the game against Granadilla. The first one, it was like very strange because it was like all security passes. And it took her a while to improve. But yeah, and then there's the rest of part of the season, I think she's been like pretty consistent and providing a lot of to Barcelona on the ball. So yeah, I think it will be a 7 out of 10. If she continues with this kind of this part of this trend, probably next year will be an 8 or a 9. But yeah, I think a 7 is fair.
I would say like 6.5 for Keira, and yeah, part of that due to the adaptation to the Barcelona style. And whenever we compare a defensive midfielder or a pivot, like I usually think of Patry, and like I haven't seen Keira controlling the tempo of the game like Patry used to do, and like I have seen like quite a few games where Patry has to like leave her position and to try and help out Keira on certain occasions. So like I wouldn't say it was a above 7 kind of season for Keira. I would expect it to improve going to the next season, but considering the current season, I would give her a 6.5.
Okay, this whole time I was going to say 6.5, but now that I've heard 7 and 6.5, I feel better about that. So that's how I feel. Next one, Patry, 10 out of 10. I would say this is by far her best season in Blaugrana. Easily. No notes. Showed up when it mattered. Showed up consistently throughout the season at an excellent level. there were multiple times throughout the season that I thought she had played her best ever game in a Barcelona shirt, and then she kept doing it over and over and over again. There's no question about it. She was, for me, she was our player of the season. I have no notes on her.
Yeah, for me as well. I agree with Kelsey. If she was all, I mean, if we have seen Alexia doing what Patria has done, for instance, during the first half of the season, I would take the note lower. But I think that it takes a lot, and I think we are not still rating properly enough how important was taking up Alexia's role. And I can't remember also the game against Roma where she had this game as an interior. It was one of the best ones that I have seen from a footballer. Yeah, for sure, there's two goals on the final and blah blah blah. But I think overall, like, I think we are still not rating properly enough how big has been her season, changing her role and doing it so well. If we take that into account, I think that is a 10 out of 10 for me.
I would agree with both of you. Patri is the most complete footballer. I mean, once footballer, I could say.
Easily. Because,
yeah, I mean, like, if you put her anywhere in the lineup, like, if it's a center forward or right wing, left wing, like, she could play anywhere and she could do that to the perfection. We have seen her doing it in the 2021 final. She played as a center back when, like, Andrea missed the final. So she is the go-to player for Barca now. So, like, I would say it's a perfect season for her. And, like, she needs the attention now. And I don't want to see the, like, underrated player anymore. Maybe a Ballon d'Or shout.
In an ideal world, for me, she would win the Ballon d'Or. Also, thank you for mentioning how she's so complete and has played in so many different positions. I think for me, like, the craziest thing that I think of all the time is how she has played in three different Champions League finals in three different positions and won two of them. Ironically, the one that she didn't win was where she played her natural position, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, Patri, perfect 10 across the board. No question. I'm glad we agree. Now we move on to the defenders. And the first defender on my list is Lucy Bronze. Remember, everyone, that the 5 ranking is average. So with that being said, I would give her a 3. And I would give her a 3 because I think she came to the club. Obviously, she was a second choice player after we couldn't sign Ona. I think it's pretty universally understood. But she came to the club as a starter. She was expected to be good enough to be starting for Barcelona. And she constantly dropped the ball in pretty much every performance where we needed her to be great. Except for maybe like 2 that I can think of. You know, we're talking about a former UEFA Women's Player of the Year, like last summer's Euro champion. Like the expectations for her were justifiably big. And she underperformed all of them. Even I, like me, I've never liked her as a player. Ever in my life. Ever since like 2017, I can remember having an agenda against her. Like, this goes deep for me. And her coming to my club and playing the way that she did, especially in a Champions League final, the rage that I have in my heart is like uncontainable. I can't talk about this anymore or else I will get angry. 3. 3, and I'm being nice about it.
Okay, here is where the most fun comes. For me, it's a 9 out of 10. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
But for me, it's a 6.5.
What is 7, wrong maybe. With you? That's the what same rating you gave Jace.
I'm gonna I'm going to develop my
You're
my
lucky that the guy started mowing his lawn again. Otherwise, I'd be talking a lot right now.
I'm lucky that I'm not sitting next to you because you're probably throwing the computer to my face. Yeah. So in the end, we have, I mean, whoever has listened to Barca for All podcast through all the season has listened to a lot of criticism from everyone here. And we would agree on that, right? But I still feel like Torrejón was a Lucerón was a big improvement. Torrejón.
Big improvement.
Borja. Yeah, it was an improvement. Even on the ball, like it was. Anyway, I'm continuing. Even on the matches that he had mistakes, like for instance, the final against Wolfsburg, she kind of recovered from that, and she had the rest of the game was pretty good, and she contained Eva Payor, for instance. So yeah, she had a big mistake and she's very prone to error because sometimes she just is, I don't know, absent-minded or wherever. But in the end, she's reasonably consistent defensively.
She came back from an injury. She came back from an injury too. So like you have to think about that as well. She didn't have that playing time coming to the final.
Yeah, I'm going to choose to not think about it.
Also, the game against Real Madrid, she also had an error that she basically put Irene into difficulties that led to the red card. But in the end, if you watch the whole season
and the Bayern game, don't forget that
reasonably well. For sure, yeah, she still has some stuff to work on with this thing about being absent-minded. Sometimes on the ball, she doesn't provide enough. But I think that. Yeah, I think
Do you think she's going to improve?
No, I mean, like for sure. Yeah. I mean, even when we signed her, we knew that she was not going to be the same player.
Right.
As Leon. I mean, every season is gonna get worse. But yeah, it was still an improvement from Torrejón.
Yeah, I agree on that.
For me, it was the same. Because Torrejón is like her level since 2021 has decreased a lot. Like that's not news, but it's a difference between having a defender that is like consistently below average, like Torrejón, versus having a defender that's like consistently average to maybe sometimes above average. Well, that still has these freak moments, like these absolute bozo moments that jeopardize our entire season. And Bronze did that like more than twice. So I don't know. I would rather take the consistent below average player over like the bozo who like messes up in huge games like Bronze did. So that's how I feel about it. So I'm sticking with three. I'm three to be nice. Borja 6. Rajesh, what's yours?
6. Borja 6.5, right?
Yeah. But like, what was your number?
I'm 6. I'm going with 6.
Fine. Okay. Next one. Nuria Rabano. For me, she was maybe like a 6.5? 7? 7. I'm gonna give her a 7. She took a little bit of time to adjust, but I think in the times that she did get opportunities, like later in the season, I think she fit in pretty well. I think she even had like some pretty great games. There's not too much to like have an opinion based off of, but I hope that she will be able to take what she learned in the season and how she grew in the season and maybe put that more towards her starting position next season, or at least a more rotation appearances, I guess. But I think 7 is like a fair score for her.
I think I can agree on the grade. There is also this part of Nuria where she conditionally is not gonna be near level Rolfo. I mean, physicality in terms of repeating efforts, even the hate or whatever. So I think we have to probably judge what player actually is Nuria and which player is not. It's kind of the same with Keira Anengen comparing it to Patri, right? So in the end, She still had like this first part of the season of adaptation still rough and with some personal issues that probably didn't help her adaptations. But I think in the moment that she had some continuity and she could play some matches on a row, she played really well. I think on the ball, she's better than Rolfo. And I think that she could see that as a window opportunity for the future and to gain more minutes, to play more as a different profile of left back than Rolfo. I can remember the games against Valencia. She played pretty well. So hopefully we'll see more of Nuria in that role. She will be probably still be the second left back, but if she gains more minutes, well, I think we could see the same version of the best matches we've seen from Nuria this season.
Yeah, like I don't think like I would give a rating. Like I don't want it to be like too down or too high, because like I would say like we haven't seen a lot of Nuria, and more importantly in those big games, like I'm not sure if she started the Super Copa. Did she?
I don't remember.
Yeah, so like I don't think like we would be able to like rate her quantitatively based on games, because like I can't recollect the games like where we were able to like play Nuria a lot. So yeah, like I wouldn't put a rating and put her down or give her up. So maybe like if I want to go, I would go with 6.5.
Okay. That's pretty like 6.5 to 7 score across the board. Next one, Marta Torrejón. Again, it's a similar situation with Lucy Bronze. I said this in my explanation for Lucy. Torre has been consistently below average. She's just been like not very good. Both of our right back options this season have been pretty dirt, pretty garbage, not very good.
In my view, it's probably a 6. Even I could give her like a 7. For me, the summary would be she's better as a center back than as a right back. I think it's one of the players which have seen Barcelona evolving more faster than her level, and she's been being below Barcelona level, and we have to acknowledge that. And I think I want to consider that when giving the mark. I think when she's playing as a right back, for instance, when in the Chelsea game at the Camp Nou where Lucy was injured, she didn't have a good match, but in the end it's probably gonna suffer against that kind of attackers. And yeah, the game, the goal game came from a mistake from her and blah, blah, blah. But in the end, I think you can ask more to Torrejón, to be fair. I think there is some positive reflections from Torre. For instance, when she had to step up and came in to play against Real Madrid and Supercopa when Irene was sent off, and she did pretty well, and the same as in the final. So, I think a 6 is, I think it's fair.
Yeah, like, I would agree with both on this, because, like, Mata isn't getting any younger, and I don't think she will have a lot of improvement. I don't think she will have any improvement going forward. And, you said, she had a great game against Real Madrid, and then when Lucy Bronze missed the game against Chelsea in the second leg, I think she stepped up. Apart from that, I think the mistake which allowed Samka to be onside, which they capitalized and scored the goal. I think I would agree with 6.
All right, next one. Anna Maria Srnjogorcevic. Oh, also, I think I've been, kind of pronouncing her last name incorrectly. I'm going to check that soon. But AMC for short. I would say 7. I mean, she's never been like a phenomenal groundbreaking player. I think for the role that she plays, she does a sufficient job. She's always been like that. This season was no different. And also, I think when she did get starting roles, like such as the first Real Madrid game of the season, I think she did great. I think she showed up when she needed to and was perfectly sufficient. 7.
For me, it's a 6 out of 10. It's always a hard example to judge because, as I said with other players, she doesn't have that continuity to help the players to reach their best version. And she's playing as a winger, being the substitute of Caro, and I don't think that helped her because it's very different even as a profile of player. But I think the first part of the season she's been great, and I probably would be a 6.5 or even a 7, actually, now I'm thinking. She's a player that, as I said, you can ask her something that she's not as a player. And I think consider her limitations and probably on a position where she's not making her best version, I think she still did well. So, 6.57 will be,
Yeah, I would agree with both of you on this. 6.5 for AMC would be a good one. And she's kind of the utility player we have in the team where we could put her in whichever position we needed. And she's not going to give us a great performance, but she could give us an average, a decent performance and help when we are needed. And her being an important player in the dressing room to glue them up, to be a glue, that's a good thing. I would say I would give her 6.5 as well.
All right. On to the next one. Mappy. For me, I would give her the same ranking as Padri, 10 out of 10. She just consistently shows up as the best center back in the world. I say that very confidently. I say this with most of our good players, but I really mean it for her. She showed up when it mattered. Even in our more difficult defensive matches of the season, the Wolfsburg match, for example, she was easily the best defender on the entire pitch. And she's like that for pretty much every match, good or bad. So for me, 10 out of 10. Not a lot more to say for that one.
For me, if it's not a 10, it would be a 9.5 because...
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but it's hard to argue what she could have done better. And we don't have... A good thing about Mappy is that since this season, we have not having this start of the season where Mappy struggles to find her form and so on. She's been performing pretty great since first day. And and actually she's been more mature as a player, as a defender, more conservative in some situations where she had to be more conservative instead of being more passionate as a defender.
Yep.
Probably she still misses some aerial duels like we saw this season, but 9.5 I would say. I think overall she's been absolutely stunning, great. I love you, Mappy.
I love that little addition at the end.
I would give her 10 out of 10. And her anticipation has been great this season as well, as it used to be in the previous seasons. And apart from that one blunder in the final where she was trying to get ahead of Pop and missed it out, I would say she hasn't put a wrong foot in the entire season. So yeah, it's definitely a 10 rating, and I hope she renews for another like 6 to 7 years and stays with Barca.
Okay, love and the mappy love. We got a couple more defenders left. Laia Codina. I gotta say, I was really underwhelmed by her this season and her comeback from AC Milan. She just doesn't have the same sort of, I guess, quality as she did before she went out on loan. I don't know what really happened, but she doesn't have that same sort of spark. She was average, if not below average. I would say either like a 4 or 5. There's really not a lot to say for her about, to say for me about her.
Yeah, for me it's a 5 out of 10. It's kind of unfair to judge a player that has not been offered some continuity as a player, even especially considering she's still a young player, and probably continuity is something that they really, really need. So hopefully next season she will have that in other place. The thing with the Spanish women's national team really affected her, because not having Paredes and Mapi and Paredes on the women's national team really made the Barcelona had to give them the enough minutes of playing time, and then consequently players like Codina had to play less. So it's hard, but in the end, she had some good games, like against Kunde Nanji at the Johan Cruyff, against Real Madrid, Madrid Club de Fútbol Femenino. But in the end, and I've seen some improvement on the ball respect 2 seasons ago, the last season where she played for Barcelona. But in the end, it's underwhelming. You would expect something more from us, a third center back, and I still see kind of the same deficiencies that I saw 2 seasons ago when she played for Barcelona. So, yeah, probably a 5 out of 10 would be unfair. I don't know, maybe 5.5, but more than that, I don't know. I don't think that would be very fair.
I would go with like 4 for Laia Codina, and like that's because like when Jana Fernandez returned from injury, like she was right back slotted into the 11, like instead of Laia Codina. So like I don't think the coaching staff are like showing any kind of confidence in playing her, even though a player returned from an injury after a long break. So like I don't think she has like improved like even. It's not drastically, but like I haven't seen a lot of improvements in her on ball game as well, and I would say that's down to the loan move she went in the last season, and she might leave again. Like maybe it could have been better if she has been loaned out to a Spanish team, like but that's still kind of hypothetical. So yeah, I wouldn't rate her above 5. Sorry.
I find very interesting what you mentioned, Reyes, about the staff not trusting her. And that I think that's very interesting, because in the end, we just watched matches. We cannot judge beyond that. And the staff watch her every day on training sessions and know her perfectly, way more than us. So in the end, there is something there that we don't know, the staff know, and that why they don't trust it. Because in the end, against Atletico Madrid, she was available and played again as a center back. Exactly. In the Supercopa, when Irene wasn't off, it was Torrejón, and etc. She still had some matches at the start of the season, but what's worse is that as the season went on, she was not trusted as a center back, so there is something there for sure, and I really like that you bring that up, because that I think that helps a lot to explain about Laia Codina's season.
All right, the last defender that we have. I know I said that we would do Jana, but I think we decided against that because she, same situation as Bruna, you know, ACL tear, comeback. Irene Paredes. I'm going to say 7.5, maybe an 8. I'm kind of running out of things that are unique to say about people. I would say I wouldn't give her an outright 8 just because she did have a lot of issues with just like defending in general. Like, I'm trying to say, like, her level has gone down, I would say, noticeably compared to the last 2 or 3 seasons. There's really not a lot of other better options out there that we could have other than her. So given that, I think she did pretty well. I'm going to give her a 7.5.
For me, it's a 8.5, probably a 9. A 9, I would say. I just wanted to bring up what happened with Spain, with the women's national team, and her being the representative as a captain. And probably, I think that her third pass of the season was not that good. And probably, I would give less importance to that part of the season. But as kind of the second part of the season came, and probably she recovered mentally from that, I think she was pretty good. And I think that, the knockout phases in the Champions League, I think she was our best defender, even better than Mappy. Against Chelsea, Roma, and Wolfsburg, it was phenomenal. And I think it helped a lot Barcelona to be competitive, especially defending with a lot of spaces at her back. On the ball, she's been great as well. So I don't think there is much. Yeah, there were some mistakes along the way, but overall, for instance, in the Supercopa. But I think overall, like, for me, it's been her best season at Barcelona and probably in her career. So yeah, I think a 9 is deserving.
I kind of agree with Bogan on this. And she has won her first Champions League, just like Rolfo. I don't think she has like a lot of improvements in the game, but if we consider and take into account the last 2 seasons at Barca, I would say this has been better than the previous one, and like maybe her anticipation when defending isn't great. She has been available right through the season, and she has helped us to hold the defense well.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. I do disagree that this has been her like best season of her career. I think she was probably better like her last season with PSG, but I would say like the last 3 seasons of her career have been pretty phenomenal. She's definitely a generational player. All right, the last one that we have for at least as far as players go, because Borja did just suggest that we should do a grade for Jona, which I do think we should do. The last person that we have to talk about is Paños, Sandro Paños. For me, I'm going to give this ranking in comparison to where she was last year. For me, she is an 8.5. She has completely returned, at least I think so, to the level that she was at in 2021, you know, when she was getting nominated for Ballon d'Ors and whatever. She was at a really low confidence level last season. You could tell, you could just see in her performances that she was not completely mentally there. And that, of course, culminated in her performance at last year's Euros with the Spain national team. But ever since then, she has been to her regular best. There have been multiple times throughout the season where she has made huge, huge saves. I wouldn't say she's the greatest goalkeeper in the world, but I think for her own standards and for the Barcelona standards, I think she's been completely adequate, if not above adequate.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything, even with the mark Kelsey did. I just to elaborate a bit more. I think it was important in some games, important games in the season, like against Roma in the Coliseo. She helped Barcelona and prevented Roma from getting a draw. And there was also like, I think aerially, in aerial, she claiming the ball, she's been better. Maybe because she's more confident, as you said. So I've seen some improvement. We'll probably won't see the season that Sandra Paños had, probably 2019 or 2021. But I think it was still a good season, and probably and hopefully we see more of that version in the future.
I kind of agree with both of you on this. Just like that Borjas mentioned, Panos' aerial game has improved. I mean, catching ability is better than the previous season. And maybe that's down to the decision making, I would say. So yeah, I wouldn't say this is the best. This is her best season, but I would agree with the 8 or 8.5 rating for Panos.
All right, pretty consistent throughout the board. Sorry again. I guess that means that our last one is our ranking for Jonathan Giraldez. For him, I would say an 8.5, same as Panos. I would say an 8.5. I think he did a great job this season, as per usual, but there were a lot of times where I really doubted his decisions. I think mostly his personnel decisions. And I also feel like he didn't take as many positive risks as he could have, such as like depending on certain players over other players in the Champions League, or not Champions League, but like in big matches throughout the season, giving opportunities to younger players. You know, I would say like I don't also necessarily favor the midfield setup that he chose to use throughout the season. I feel like he could have experimented a lot more than that, or a lot more with the setup of our midfield three. But otherwise, I feel like he really learned from a lot of the mistakes that he made in his first year as the senior team coach. Or not as the senior team coach, but as like the head coach of the senior team. And those mistakes, I feel like, really culminated in the Champions League final, but we were finally able to get past our sort of weird mentality / I guess curse of not being able to come back from losing positions. So yeah, when it really mattered, he showed us what he was capable of as a manager. So for that, I would say an 8.5. even despite my criticisms of him.
Mine would be a 9.5. I have to say that it's always judge a manager job, because in the end you miss probably 90% of the info, part of because it's confidential and part because that remains to training sessions and the day by day, and you only see the match in the weekend or on Wednesday when it's Champions League. There is certainly some stuff that I didn't like. For instance, the management of Bruna. I didn't understand why she played so many times as a midfielder. I don't know if it's something that I'm missing or is just because he's misjudging Bruno as a player and thinking that he fits better as a midfielder?
He did that too last season before she got injured, and it really bothered me because it's like, that's not where she's good at. That's just not where she plays.
Yeah, and actually the moments we have seen Bruno as a striker, I think she played way better, but in the end, we cannot judge as much. Probably I wish we could see a bit more of some academy players, not just in terms of minutes, but for instance, probably something that relates more to the whole Barcelona Femini management, as a whole, not just for the first team. I didn't quite understand why, for instance, players like Alba Caño play instead of Julia Bartel, for instance, which I think has a higher ceiling. But it's in the end, it's still stuff that you cannot judge that much because you don't have the info. Anyway, I think the good part of Jonah is that probably the biggest impact has been allow players to be more mentally resistant. Probably something that has been worked also with the psychologists of the team and the whole team collectively as a whole. And I'm referring to the halftime against Wolfsburg and how the team came back. I think there has been some work through all the season, for sure. Even in the against Real Madrid in the Supercopa, I think the reaction from the send-off of Irene was pretty great. And there were also some more tangible improvements, like, for instance, getting out the individual pressing. Like we saw at the start of the season against Levante or Real Sociedad how Barcelona struggled. And in the end of the season, we saw against Wolfsburg how Barcelona could get pretty well from their pressing or even against other teams. And still, I think the team has added a lot of resources. For instance, we have these different schemas and systems for pressing. I think some players have been really improved throughout all the season. And she's been very interventionist in some situations where we were not getting the result that we wanted. So I think overall it's been pretty great for Jonas. So I think, a 9 it would be, or 9.5 would be good for him.
I would go with like 8.5 to 9, and like it has nothing to do with match management or the pep talk, but it's more to do with what have been done with the available resources. Like for example, like Nuria, I don't think Nuria was like tried a lot as a left back, and Gaze's situation wasn't, I felt like it wasn't handled properly. Maybe if I'm correct, she didn't start 5+ games during that part of the time. Maybe that puts a 0.5 ranking down for Jonah. But apart from that, I think it was a great season for Jonah as well.
All right. So I think that wraps up pretty much everything that we wanted to talk about today. Well, if that's all that we have, then thank you for listening. I'm not sure what our next podcast topic is going to be. I assume it's probably going to be something World Cup related. So watch out for that one. But until then, we will see you next time. Bye, everyone.